B-Pod Studios.
This is Gordon Hayward.
Hayward a trail three. That is good.
You're listening to the home of the Celtics, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Tomatoes.
Mike Francesa appears to rip fought while ripping Adam Gase.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb,
bomb. Go, Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Forgive me.
Go. 'Twas the night before Christmas, all through the whole house, when I heard a crasher screaming, something was shitting, so I took out my from my bitches, and you know, there's a Duffo Dick and a friend, Tony McGee, and all your bitch slapses. Oh, reindeer, don't back up, Duffo. What the hell were you thinking about, dude? And don't think the Vice Squad's gonna come here and with our ashes. Oh, how the whorehouse from whore, Adolfo.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Touch and Ridge radio program. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the late, great Gunner.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Who, when he got drunk and would come in, everything would turn into Adolfo.
Hey, guys. Hey.
That's the originator of the Hey, Guys, Hey. That was the last show before Christmas where we used to have Hogan's across the street from where we were. And Nick and I think Nick, you went with him, right? It was Nick and Gunner. They went across the street during the first 3 hours of the show and enjoyed themselves and then came in and did Christmas carols at the end of it, and that's basically how it ended.
Hey, guys, hey.
So it was, that's one of the few ones we can play.
Yeah, the rest were very, very dirty.
Or just, I mean, all right. It was just beep after beep after beep.
Okay, so I was being informed before the show that there is a movie.
I don't even know if I want to promote this.
No, who's going to go see it? No one's going to go see
because,
it.
Because, I mean,
who's going to see this movie? First of all, where is it playing?
I don't know.
So, I mean, it's an amateur guy. I mean, I don't think you can go see it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, you know, it's not Summer Rental or something of that nature.
Where it's everywhere.
So we always joke around about how we ruined WBCN and how WBCN isn't around anymore because of us. Well, someone, I don't know who, made some movie chronicling part of the BCN, like how it started. So they had a premiere last night, and we thought it would be funny if Nick went out there and talked to some of the people, thinking that the people were at one point in the entertainment business and that they would have some sort of sense of humor. They weren't, you know, negative questions or anything like that. They were self-deprecating questions.
And a lot of these people we've either met or we're familiar with. And the whole basis was that Nick was going to go, and it was all these guys who, you know, were from when BCN was coming up. And the joke was going to be, you know, how much do you blame Toucher and Rich for the death of WBCN? Are Touch and Rich the worst thing that's ever happened to WBCN? It was going to be a very self-deprecating rip on Toucher and Rich type of bit. And as I said, several of the people there were very familiar with and even friendly with. And so Nick shows up. I get this call yesterday. Nick shows up, and I guess he told them like who he was, which, you know, is a fine thing to do because we thought this was going to be something that it wouldn't be a big deal. And, you know, on top of that, it would have given this movie a little bit of, you know, promotion. We would be talking about it on the air, and they couldn't have been bigger dicks to Nick. They were like, I think after he introduced himself, they were like, okay, well, this is a private event. And Nick said, okay, well, this was promoted in the papers and stuff, and I heard you could buy tickets. And like, oh, you could buy tickets, but I'm not quite sure if we want you here.
Oh, my.
And he's like, excuse me? And so he goes, all right, I'm gonna have to call the PR person for this film. Let me go get him on the phone. So Nick goes, and he's standing there waiting. This guy, whoever, walks away, and the PR person apparently is like, hell yeah, let the guy in, of course. I mean, he's going to promote the movie. Let's let the guy in. So, Nick, come in here real quick. After that, I don't know what happened from the PR guy saying that you should let Nick in to apparently the guy said, I don't care what this guy says. I've got to protect my talent that's in there, and I don't want any shenanigans.
All right. There is no one more self-important and more collection of failures than the people that were at BCN from its inception outside of Lockwoodera, Siegel, and, well, besides from Lockwoodera and Siegel, there is no bitter failures than the people that were involved in that.
Now, so what did they say? Now, after the PR person...
Well, I talked to the PR person for like 10 minutes, and I told him straight up what the plan was, and he was totally fine with it. So I gave the phone back to the person, and the person called back the PR person, and the guy said exactly what he told me, and he still had a problem with it.
Okay.
Then he finally pulled the, you know, it's a private event. I'm sorry. I'm all for the First Amendment and everything, but it's a
First Amendment.
I mean, of speech. Yeah.
Dude, I mean, how many people were at this thing? I mean, it was probably like I half full. I don't know. All I know is that why were they so standoffish about you being there? Someone who worked at BCN.
I know, and I explained that to them, and I told them we weren't going to be making fun of the movie at all. It's more about...
No, it was making fun of us. The bit was to be about how we destroyed WBCN, and we wanted them all to rip on us and how much we suck.
How could we rip on the movie when who the hell knows what the movie is?
Was there anyone in the audience below, like, 60 years old?
It was an older crowd.
But that's understandable. I mean,
no, but these guys that started BCN on the AM radio... that were part of this classical station, you would think that they invented the electric car. I mean, they think that they are so important that they would play B-sides to records. I mean, that's what they did. They talked WBCN, AM, here is Cream, the second half of the Blah album on WBCN. And they're like, they changed the world. No, you didn't.
But I thought it would have been fun. I mean, like, you know, we're friends with Matty Siegel. I know that he would have ripped on us. Charles Lockwoodera, that would have been pretty funny. You know, because, you know, Fred obviously imitates him all the time or imitates Chachi talking about Charles Lockwoodera.
Chachi was going to be there last night,
yeah,
too.
Chachi, who we've liked. Yeah. We used to have a bit called the Chachis.
Yeah.
Like, these are all people that
Chachi
are
either, I hung out with every day.
Yeah, that they're either friends of ours or they're people that we're very familiar with. Who was this guy anyway?
He was apparently the filmmaker.
Oh, geez. Are you kidding me?
The auteur.
What was his original reasoning for not letting you in?
He was like, I don't know. This is, you know, we work really hard on this film, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, we were promoting it.
Well, when you're doing it on a Commodore 64, it's got to be a little bit more different.
And I quite think that's pretty ballsy of him to say that when... How many emails have you gotten over the past 3 years asking to donate for this movie?
Oh, yeah, tons. On Facebook, on everything. On Facebook, on everything is I've gotten, they've done fundraisers, and it's like, why would I donate to your dumb film? Who needs to see this? No one needs to see this. Now, Carter Allen wrote a book that was very interesting that I read. But also Carter Allen, did things like, discovered U2.
It launched U2's career in America. That's a big deal.
Right.
So, but I mean, and the thing is, I mean, in fairness, I wouldn't have minded seeing it. I love, stuff about that golden age in radio and whatever. And there's people that we would have known.
It predates the golden age of radio.
I understand, but I like that era of 70s rock radio. To me, I'm not going to rip on the movie.
Well, they're not going to show the drugs and stuff. They're just going to, if you got
Which, by the way, is one of the first things that all those guys like to talk about.
Yeah.
How much drugs were around the studio.
Yeah. You talk to Siegel about it. Yeah. He goes crazy, but it's not, they're not going to talk about how promoters. No, I can tell you what the movie would be. The movie would be half of it would be how brave the guys on stupid AM radio were about that they played Foghat's record in its totality. So, good. So,
I can't, and
I think it's kind of funny that you were, not making fun of you, but that you were, I don't want to promote the film. Who the hell could see the movie?
Yeah.
It's not like it's not playing at the Superlux.
I don't know. When Nick called me and told me this guy was being unbelievably difficult.
Yeah.
Like twice. Like I mean, it was in this was a thing too. He kept going back and forth with
me. And what talent is he protecting?
Well, that's the other thing is he wanted to protect the talent, didn't want to
what
be there.
What talent?
Yeah, like Charles Laquadera.
Well, Charles Laquadera does nothing but promote Charles Laquadera.
How about this? I got an email this week asking if Charles Laquadera could come on our show.
Yes.
So, he has no problem talking. I feel for this PR person
whose job it is to promote a movie who has the, number one radio show in the city? They're ready to promote their movie.
And he wanted
and
them to do it.
Some D-bag out there says, no, you can't do that, man, because we got to protect,
the
art.
Protect
the art that we had to fundraise money to make
for 3 years.
Yeah, that PR guy's probably like, "Are you kidding me?
You've hired me to promote a movie that nobody really, other than the ones already in that room, want to see." But no, that's great. And take the one guy who showed up to cover it and tell him he can't come in.
And this isn't like the PR guy from CAA. I mean, this is like some guy who's just trying to make ends meet.
Who gets it? Like, you got it. Like, he's like, all right.
He's also promoting a film that, hey, guy, this is the one time anyone's going to see it. Well,
the fact that the PR guy told this dude, listen, it's cool, man, and the guy was still a dick to you and wouldn't let you in, that's awesome.
Well, the fact that the filmmaker was at the door also tells you about how big the movie was. That he was the bouncer / filmmaker.
Now I want to have Charles Laquadera on just so I can talk about what a douchebag this filmmaker was.
No, you don't. I assure you, you don't. Unless you have 3 hours to kill. All right. Not that he's a bad guy, and Lord knows he made his money, but Charles Laquadera likes some Charles Laquadera.
That might be funny.
For a few minutes. As it reaches the third hour. He has a website that's like got everything he's ever done on it.
How much time have you spent on it?
Have I?
Yeah.
I went to it like twice.
Okay, because I'll spend a little time on that.
All right,
and I'll probably go twice too. I mean,
but radio was a lot different back then.
I will go no times, zero. I will never visit that website.
Yeah,
that stuff cracks me up. Like those old videos of the dudes, like rock radio from the early '80s, like WKRP in Cincinnati, looking dudes. That I could watch that all day. I really could.
Well, then you can go to radio's best friend. What's his name?
Oh, Art Volo. The Volo videos are the best. I purchased a Volo video DVD.
Yeah, well, it's just great because everyone's smoking.
And everyone's always sending shout-outs to the guy videotaping. Hey, Volo video, radio's best friend. Like, nobody knows who this guy is.
No one knows who Art Volo is except that he creeps around conferences. All right, Rich, what happened last night?
Hey, Celtics beat one of the best teams in the league last night with authority.
All right, we will talk about that. We'll be right back.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed, it's Hatcher and Rich.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what happened last evening?
Well, Miami came into Boston, the second best team in the East. They left victims of a nearly 20-point beatdown.
Uh-oh. Kemba steps to his right, three in the air. Good night.
Christmas just came early.
I looked at my presents, Mommy, and I didn't get the big wheel.
The Celtics, for the third time at home this year, will fall behind by 11 or more points, and for the third time, they're going to come back and win.
All right.
If you don't get the big wheel, that's not good, because the big wheel not costs a lot of money. You get a used big wheel for like $2.
I remember on my big wheel, the brake that was on the right side that you would pull up and it would slow you down to plastic, but I remember within like a week, the brake would just smash through the wheel itself. That wheel was not strong enough to handle the type of 4-year-old aggression pulling that thing up there when you're trying to do a spin out.
See, you had a lever? See, mine was just you kicked back
on
the pedal.
Mine had the handle, like that you pulled up on the right, and usually the handle would just smash right through the middle of your red Spider-Man big wheel, and then you were toast. So those things lasted maybe 3 weeks.
I liked the big flat spot you get on the big wheel from doing the back pedal thing, because eventually it would just rub a flat spot, and then you'd just get a big old flat spot on the wheel.
And the big wheel is appropriate for your age for about 6 months before you outgrow the big wheel, so...
Do they even make those anymore?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sure somebody found some way that they were wildly unsafe and, you know, fingers getting caught in the stuff. I don't know. I just haven't seen them around anymore. I don't have kids rock the big wheel anymore. Those kids into video games. Well, you know the story by now. The Celtics start off sluggish. They look uninspired. And after being down by double digits, they decide to stop playing around and thrash another opponent. Well, that was the exact same scenario last night as the Seas dismissed the Miami Heat to the tune of a 112-93 win at the Garden. Now, the Heat were on the second night of a back-to-back, but the Celtics would be short their energy man, Marcus Smart, due to sickness. But from the middle of the second quarter on, they got all the energy.
Hey.
Yeah?
He was out, but who made his first start as a pro last night?
That'd be Grant Williams. He played about 6 minutes, and then you didn't see him anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Grant Williams, baby.
Fred, I have to tell you. I mean, I've seen him made some good defensive plays.
I can't speak of his defensive ability, to be honest with you.
But last night, I mean, you're right. He started the game and then just kind of disappeared after a while.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, what happened to that starter, Grant Williams?
Yes, I was listening to the game in the car, and they were making a big deal about Grant Williams for a start. I said, oh, hey, let's see how that goes.
I still don't think he's made a three-pointer yet. I think he still leads the league in most attempts at 3 points. Without making one.
He did not dare to attempt one yesterday.
Okay, all right. Well, still, they got the energy that they needed.
In fact, he did not shoot from the field last night.
Okay, well, I think it was just... How much time does it hit time on the floor?
He had 18 minutes.
Oh, okay, so they ended up putting... It seemed like he was missing.
Yeah, he was 0-for-0 from the field and 0-for-0, obviously, from three-point, but he made both his free throws. Well,
you know, he's the energy guy. He does all the little things.
Tatum runs into Kelly, forces one, and gets the bounce. He wanted the and one. He won't get that. But the Celtics, very suddenly, after Jimmy Butler left the game, now have their largest lead, 86-69 with 10:28 to go.
Yeah, Boston allowed the Heat to only score 7 points in the final 7 minutes of the second. The defense became locked down, and only one player, Jimmy Butler, as you heard right there, he was able to get his shots. But one guy who stepped up last night should have been no surprise, because he's been that guy all year long.
Tatum, over the shoulder pass, Wanamaker into the corner, Jaylen Brown again, three again, and this time he had a little walk-off after he released it.
Chance something to somebody in the corner. How you like me now?
Back-to-back 4 3-pointer games for Jaylen Brown. The lead is back to 13. Mm-hmm. He's got 24.
Jaylen Brown is becoming that guy that we all wanted him to be last night.
Yeah, he's becoming a star. I mean, he got that contract. He's becoming a star.
I mean, it's everything that Danny Ainge wanted. And we talked to him at the beginning of the season right after that contract was signed. And he admitted to us that wasn't as much about his play so far. That was a big bet onto what they hoped he would be. And right now, Danny Ainge is looking pretty smart. 31 points, 5 3-pointers from Jaylen Brown last night. On top of that, he's gotten aggressive in the paint. He's been reliable from threes, a pain in the ass to opposing teams on defense. I mean, he is becoming a really good X factor, because everyone expects Kemba Walker to be good. The expectations on Jason Tatum are pretty high. But you forget about Jaylen Brown, and he has continued to make like a good play after good play, good decisions. And he always seems to be in the right place. But after that shot right there, he blew a kiss to the Miami bench. He went whew, like that. Mm. But was it to a specific person?
Were you blowing a kiss to anyone in particular?
Yeah, that was for Kelly.
Have you been talking a little smack?
Nah, that's my guy. That's all I love right there. Kelly's my guy. K-Doggy, one of Boston's finest. So every time I get to show him some love, I try to. He said I was going to miss, so I sent that kiss over to him.
Did you see the kiss?
I don't know. He felt it, though.
Fred, I knew that Boston felt a little sexier last night. Kelly Olynyk in the house.
That's right. No one could tell if he saw because his mouth was open.
That's right.
And that would go under any circumstance.
Yes. Running down the floor like a Clydesdale.
Imagine your frame of reference when you think Kelly Olynyk is one of Boston's finest.
Well, I mean, listen, he had that game.
Yeah.
You know, that one against Washington.
Yeah, he had that game.
The Kelly Olynyk game. I mean, is there anyone that looks more awkward on a basketball court than Kelly Olynyk, just clumping around?
The best is when he was in like that dorm room, or the apartment with the I mean, he was probably the same age as the people, but he was just hanging out being ugly. Well, the time of his life.
Well, so the Celtics have won every game this at home this season, but Brad Stevens doesn't seem to care about winning streaks.
We just want to win the next game. I mean, we don't talk about how many games in a row you won at home or whatever, on the road, whatever the case. We just want to try to win the next game. We have a great home court, and we're fortunate to get a chance to play in front of these fans. But we really try to focus on one game at a time.
And there you go. Still the TD Garden, a fortress. No regulation losses from the Bruins or Celtics all season long. They have a big test tomorrow night as the Denver Nuggets come to town. Tip-off is 8 p.m. right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And speaking of basketball, tell me you have seen the video from last night of LeBron James when they were playing the Utah Jazz.
Yes.
So LeBron James is taking the ball down the court. He passes half court. And I think it's Bogdanovich who's sitting there right around the three-point line. He's got his arms out, getting ready for LeBron to make a move. LeBron's dribbling the basketball, puts the basketball in his hand, like stops dribbling and like puts it, his palm underneath it, walks three steps, and then starts dribbling again. Bogdanovich is BS. Like, he's incensed. He goes, "What?" and points at the ref, who's looking at LeBron. Like, are you not going to call traveling? He stopped dribbling, held the ball for three steps, and then started dribbling again, and nobody called anything on LeBron James.
And it's funny because it's almost like he did it just because he could.
Just to see if he could get away with it.
Because there was no tactical advantage in doing it.
No.
He wasn't attacking the rim. He's literally, Bogdanovich is probably, 5 feet in front of him?
Yep.
There's no one pressuring the ball. He's walking it up, and he just picks it up. He walks three steps and puts the ball down again.
So I guess there's audio. I've only seen the quote, but somebody showed him that video at halftime. And there's audio of him yelling to one of his teammates, "Yeah, I saw it at halftime. That's the worst one I've ever done, man. That was really, that one was really good."
You can see fans on the side of the court, like courtside, getting up and going, "What?"
Yeah. LeBron is intolerable. And it's not just because of that. I mean, I've always hated LeBron James. But LeBron James is also a guy who, and it's purely for peacocking reasons, has no problem during a play, while he's on the bench, walking onto the court and like yelling and cheering and going crazy. Last night during the game, he was pretty much out. There was only a couple of moves. It was garbage time. But he had no shoes on and came walking all the way on the baseline onto the court during a play. And listen to what the play-by-play guys from Utah say.
"A game with Memphis. Inside Tony, blocked by Kuzma. Got it back. Big fella turns in a crowd. Continues to fight. Blocked again.
Look at LeBron. He's on the court.
With no shoes, mind you. What is going on here? That's some disrespect right there. Please."
In fairness, he gave his shoes to a kid.
Yeah, well,
he signed him and gave him to a kid.
That poor kid with $3,000 seats.
No. The kid had to go up. Oh, okay. The kid had come down.
He wasn't in one of the first
1500
two rows. $1,500 seats.
Come on now.
Was it in L.A.?
No, that was in Utah.
Ain't $1,500 seats.
You're telling me there aren't some, like, Utah cash?
Come on. Mormon money?
Listen, I can't speak of that, but the kid had to go up. He wasn't courtside. Mm-hmm. LeBron signed the shoes. I gave it to the kid. Nice gesture. Come on.
I just love how he's standing there walking out of the court and jumping up and down while plays are going on.
Dude, Drake does it.
Yeah, but okay. We call out Drake when he does it.
No, I know, but listen, I don't like it either, but at least LeBron's on the team. he's not massaging the coach when he's... like, it owns 1% of the team.
Yeah, no, that's intolerable.
Yes, Drake is an intolerable person. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Oh, let's get to the Patriots. Bill Belichick is in his Bill Belichickiest mood, talking about the Chiefs.
All right, we have the headlines for you.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what else is going on?
Well, so as the Patriots get ready for the Chiefs this weekend, as of right now, the weather looks cold but clear for Gillette. So to everyone who won tickets to the game on our show, you're welcome. Well, Belichick, for one, he is in full Kansas City Chiefs mode yesterday at his press conference.
Well, the Chiefs had to work through some injuries and suspensions earlier this year. Would you say, based on what you see on film now, they're full throttle on offense, at least coming into this game?
Looks like to me they've been pretty full throttle all year.
Yeah.
Now go home and get your shine box.
Yeah, I mean, shut up. I don't want to give them any bulletin board material about them being good now.
That's right. because they might even be better.
If I dare say.
They're going to be inspired to beat the Patriots, the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last year.
Well, you can't show your hand.
No, you can't do
that. It's not exactly Kitchens walking around with a Pittsburgh started it shirt like a moron.
Oh, that is just
like
awesome.
Like Mr. Magoo.
Man, there are going to be so many openings for Ron Rivera. Next year, he'll be able to just pick. There's probably going to be like 10 teams that he's going to be able to choose from.
Yeah, he'll probably be able to pick either New York team.
So yeah, speaking of that, first of all, Tom Brady was in full participation yesterday, but he has a new toe injury. Marcus Cannon now in his third week with an illness. Sick for 3 weeks, that's some Sam Darnold mono stuff. Well, speaking of New York, as you were saying, Fred, a surefire Hall of Famer is returning to the field this weekend, no doubt with mouth agape. Eli Manning is going to make his triumphant return to the field with Daniel Jones sidelined with an injury. Here's Cooper Manning's less talented brother.
You know, again, just try to take it, you know, as I said, just take it one game at a time. And you never want to try to make decisions about your future while you're still kind of living in the present and don't know the circumstances of what could happen. So,
I'll analyze everything else after the season.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Eli Manning.
One thing I'll say about Eli Manning is he has handled this well. I mean, he could have just told him to go screw, but it's got to be humiliating when the first round pick that you have hasn't been playing particularly well, gets hurt or sick or whatever the hell he is, and then you have to and you step in and have to basically clean up for a crap game.
Here's what's going to happen. Eli Manning this weekend is going to throw for almost 500 yards. He is going to look like the best Eli Manning has ever played. He's going to have one more week where he's going to be very good. Daniel Jones is going to return. And then the Bears are going to break the bank for Eli Manning next season and fail. And wouldn't that be glorious if they did that? If they said, you know what, we're just one quarterback away from doing it all, and then they end up getting the Eli Manning we all saw at the beginning of the season.
They traded up for Trubisky. So.
You know, I have a feeling, and notify Eli Manning too, awesome. I mean, hopefully you are playing with pee and vinegar. You got benched. So if he goes out there, imagine if he just lights it up and fools teams into thinking that he's a wise investment for next year, and all of a sudden he's gonna just completely regress but become once again what he was at the beginning of the season.
I honestly forgot he was in the league earlier this year. I'm like, oh wait, no, he's still on it.
He's still doing it,
which I think speaks of positively of him that he's just kind of hung out and not really said anything.
Disappeared like nobody's business.
But you're right, Fred. I mean, if you are Ron Rivera, because we all have to think that Ron Rivera is going to be fawned over. And I mean, I think Ron Rivera is a good coach, and I've thought that for a while. And I obviously this wasn't a great hand he was dealt with, Cam, you know, hurting this year, but they want to move on. Sometimes we've seen it before, even with coaches like, we saw it with Terry Francona here. Sometimes you just have spent enough time with one team, even though you're a very good manager or coach, and they want to move on and try something else. I don't actually blame the Panthers for doing that. But if you had to choose, Fred, what situation you wanted to go into, whether it be the Giants or the Jets, who do you choose? I mean, because you got, I would think, the better quarterback in the Jets. Sam Darnold seems to be a guy that's got a better upside. But what a mess of an organization. And then you've got, with the Giants, one hell of a running back, one of the best in the league. But
depends how much behind a dicey quarterback.
Right.
Depends how much you value ownership.
Well, then you go Giants.
Yeah, right. If you value ownership, you go Giants because the Johnsons are idiots. If you look for talent on the field, then you're going to go for the Jets.
I mean, I got to think. Now, Odell Beckham Jr., from everything I'm hearing, wants out. And after this season, you know, more than likely, he is going to be one of those guys who's going to fire his way out of Cleveland. But if that wasn't the case, I mean, you would think the Browns was the best situation,
I was
going
to say, the Browns is where you want to get. And maybe if you're a Ron Rivera type and you go to the Browns, then you can convince Odell Beckham Jr. to stay.
Maybe. And maybe that's part of the big plan.
You don't need him to win. Yep. You don't need him to win. You don't need a receiver like that to win championships. And if he shoots himself out, good for him.
And to be fair to Odell Beckham Jr., I thought he'd be more of a mess this year than he is. He's been held to, like, I think five games in a row with under 100 yards, and that's like never happened.
I told you going in. The history says that you do not need one of those guys to win a championship. Everyone wet themselves when Cleveland got Odell Beckham Jr. and had them all penciled in to win the North, had them all penciled in to be a Super Bowl contender. It doesn't matter at all.
Well, Fred, you'll be happy to know that Baker Mayfield will more than likely see the field this weekend, despite having his hand hit. He hit it on a Steeler player's helmet this past weekend. When he was asked, hey, Baker Mayfield, why are you so tough? Here was his answer.
Because mama didn't raise a wuss.
Oh, God, I hate you so much.
Because mama didn't raise a wuss.
Oh, Baker, bring it on.
Oh, you are just every opportunity you have to act like you're tough. Shut up. Just shut your mouth, you two little ass quarterback piece of garbage. Oh, my God. You'd think that he was a Navy SEAL. The way he talks about playing quarterback in the NFL. You hit your hand on a helmet. Wasn't Theismann breaking his leg?
Because mama didn't raise a wuss.
And then the silence after it, like they probably glaring at the guy like, yeah.
Make a t-shirt out of that, baby.
When was the last, I might be missing something. When was the last time like a quarterback acted like they were a huge, like physical badass?
Ooh.
Like they acted like they were like a lineman or something.
Sure. Like they were,
like running
Dirty
around,
Harry.
Yeah. Like running around like Jamal Adams or something. When was the last time you were a quarterback talking like that? There's got to be somebody that flamed out.
For some reason, I was thinking Osweiler, but it's not Osweiler. I'm just thinking
quarterbacks
I hate.
That they're sucking.
Except for the one
I
game that mattered
against
the Patriots.
Ryan Leaf talking like that, but I don't actually have any proof that he did.
I'm sure he did. Maybe Roethlisberger because
I don't think
he was
impenetrable. No, I think Roethlisberger was just always kind of
raping people.
That,
all right, that he was. I don't think that was ever proven. Marshall Hook
throwing a teammate under the bus.
Yeah,
riding motorcycles into walls.
Yeah, that wasn't very
he definitely
smart.
Did that.
All right. What is coming up, Rich?
Well, I mean, nothing is badass.
Mama didn't raise a wuss.
Is there anything he could have said that would have been worse than that? There's like it's hard to imagine him. Mama didn't raise no wuss.
Well, no, he didn't say no wuss. He said mama didn't raise a wuss. I actually think no wuss would have been better. Mama didn't raise no wuss.
Okay,
he didn't say that. Mama didn't raise a wuss.
Yeah, he's very folksy.
Yes.
But he's got that attitude, and that's all that matters. You know, his teammates take a liking to him, except for his receivers, who are upset about not getting the ball. All right, Rich, what's going on?
All right, well, there is a game that members of the teams are clamoring to replay because of something unfair that happened, and I actually agree with them.
All right, we will have all that information in just a moment.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
You know,
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Call number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. The score a pair of tickets to see Five Finger Death Punch on May 5th at the DCU Center in Worcester.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through all Ticketmaster outlets. Nick, is that who does the Chip Chipperson podcast? You don't know or it's not? Okay, no,
Five-Finger Death Punch, Fistful of Metal.
Yep.
Named after, of course, Fred.
Fistful of Metal is...
No. Five-Finger Death Punch, named after...
Was that Roadhouse?
No, that would be... I don't know what the name of that redneck kung fu move was where he ripped the guy's throat out, because that was his signature move. That's how he killed the bad guy at the end, who looked like an 80s porn star.
I just know Fistful of Metal was Anthrax first.
Yes, now that is. No. Five-Finger Death Punch, that is ultimately how Bill was killed in Kill Bill by the Bride.
Okay,
Hatebreed. Or Beatrix Kiddo.
Hatebreed is who I was thinking of. All right,
Rich. I've played many shows with Hatebreed.
Well, hey, look at who's a musician.
Oh, yeah, Hatebreed. Huge. They used to play the Masquerade all the time. All right, so this doesn't happen often. A replay of a game where the referees made a call so egregious or a non-call that they end up finding a way to either replay the entire game or just a portion of it. Now, the most recent example in the NBA, and I didn't even remember this happening, was back in 2008. There was a game between the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. In a previous game that happened, the Hawks unofficially had won 117-111 in overtime, but the official score incorrectly ruled that Shaquille O'Neal had fouled out, so they had to replay the final 51 seconds next time the two teams met. So the first game was over, and then they came back out on the court and played a 51-second game. So this does happen. It's just been a while. And in this case, I actually believe the Houston Rockets have a legitimate beef, and this probably should happen.
Okay, it's not going to because it happened too early in the game, and it's obvious when someone fouls out. But the play Rich is talking about is Harden.
Here it is right here.
Okay.
Harden the steal and the dunk.
I go, wait a minute. Just checking it out. This goes through, y'all. That was good. And then out.
So Harden is basically, he has the court, half court to himself. He ends up, I forgot if he stole the ball, but he ended up getting the ball, and he basically just trotted to the goal and went up for a dunk, but the dunk went into the, it went through the hoop, but then the net kind of shot it back up outside of the hoop and it bounced off the top.
Yeah, it goes through the cylinder, through the net, but catches the net at the bottom, and then the net goes up in front of the cylinder and comes out.
Yeah, so I mean, it was absolutely a dunk, and what happened at that point was the play was stopped. As a matter of fact, at first they thought it was goaltending, and then it wasn't goaltending, but either way, he didn't get credit for the dunk. Now, when I saw that highlight when it first happened, I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of funny. But what I didn't realize, because that game ended very late the night before last, was that they went to double overtime. Now, the Houston Rockets are petitioning to either replay the game or replay the rest of the game, the final 7 minutes and 50 seconds. That's when that egregious miss of a dunk happened, and replay it. Now, the reason being is that Houston Rockets would have won in regulation if that didn't happen, if they ended up calling that properly. So afterwards, James Harden was asked what happened. Was there any kind of explanation that the referees gave you? And here's what he had to say.
Were you given any kind of explanation on why the dunk did not count? What were you arguing and how were you trying to convince them?
Ball went in.
Yeah, it was basically it. Ball went in. That's what I was trying to tell him. And Mike D'Antoni afterwards said, I heard they said the ball hit James and went back through, so it was a goaltend on James. I challenged that, and I didn't get a response. Then another guy said it wasn't a goaltend. It went out of bounds on us, and I said, well, I challenged that. No, you can't do that. You know, I don't know. To answer your question, I've got nothing. I can't tell you. So this is, I think they have to rule on it. There's a 48-hour window in which the NBA has to rule whether or not this is something that should be replayed. But I just think for their sake, they're going to have to do that. This is one of the few times that it's just so egregious. And it cost them a game, an important game. I mean,
well, it, not like if someone fouls out, an important player fouls out. I mean, 2 points in a basketball game that goes to double overtime. I mean, you're a lot of things have to happen after that call. I mean, you know, you have an opportunity to win the game still. I mean, if you come back for 7.5 minutes and then you got to play overtime and then that's that whole thing and you're playing basically a whole other game.
But the best part of it is it wasn't like bang, bang. And you know what I thought they would do is I thought it would be a situation too. And you've seen this happen a ton of times where, you know, a guy will go up and he'll get credit for a 3-point shot. But then in the commercial break, the refs will take a look at it and realize it was only a 2-point shot or they'll thought it was a 2-point limit and they'll change it. I thought it was going to be a situation where at a timeout or during a commercial break, they just would have given him credit for the basket.
Right.
And I don't know why they weren't able to take a look at it with all the protesting. I mean, you saw all of them. Like, you know, James Harden's going, that was in. D'Antoni's yelling at him that it was in. And the play stopped. So there was a moment for them to go look at it if they wanted to. But they ended up not. So.
And how nobody in the league office, because you know they have like their league central office where they're watching all these games, didn't at some point say, hey, guys, this is going to be a much bigger problem if we don't just...
This is about to go viral, sir.
If we don't just throw 2 points up there, you know, maybe the other team will complain, but at some point they'll have no grounds. The thing clearly went through, but they're like, no, it'll be fine.
No, they'll replay everything and call 45 timeouts to kill all momentum in games, but yes, they won't do it in that case.
Yeah, so we should know something by the end of the day today, because that's when the deadline is.
I'd be very surprised if they agree to play it again, but what do I know?
I just want to see video of the 51-second game, which yeah. I didn't even know that existed from back in 2008.
Nobody scored there in the 51-second game.
Oh, really?
And Shaquille O'Neal didn't play because they had traded him away in the interim between when that original game was played and when they remake, redo happened.
I guarantee you just everyone stood around and was like, I don't want to do this. like I'm not running.
So they didn't do what the Red Sox did and make a whole thing out of it when they had to pick up their resumed game and extra innings or whatever?
Like free tickets and stuff, and the kids can, you know, run the bases. No. This was
51-second NBA, boys. Come on down.
This was done after a game. Like, they finished a regular game and then said, all right, time for game number two, and it was just 50 seconds long.
I remember years and years ago, there was a Patriots game that they somehow, the game was over, but they realized there were, like, 5 seconds left on the clock, so they made all of the players come out, like, an hour after the game was done. Drew Bledsoe is walking out of there in like sweatpants to kneel down on the ball one more time.
Right.
I feel like that's what that game was like.
All right. Is Livshatz here?
He's here.
I
saw him milling around.
He's not laying on the couch, so it's hard to tell. All right. One of our bankroll boys is here. No commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.